Hey everyone, Graham Talks Pats back again. The Patriots are 8-2. They just keep winning. It's pretty miraculous, honestly. They're on a 7-game win streak now, which I think if you had told people at the beginning of the year after that Raiders game, I feel like I talk about this every week, but if you told me after that Raiders game in week one that the Patriots were going to be, you know, technically the 3 seed, but tied record-wise for the 1 seed in the AFC and have, according to most metrics, either the highest or, you know, second highest by maybe the Eagles, chances to make the playoffs through 10 weeks, I would have called you crazy. So it's pretty miraculous that the Patriots are in the position that they're in right now. Just the sake of, I think a lot of people who are Patriots fans who are watching the Patriots week in, week out saw, you know, they're dominant in a lot of these games. I think last week against Atlanta, it was, you know, a little bit less apparent. But I'll also say, I think as far as a 3-win team goes, Atlanta's very good. They've got a lot of talent offensively. They just haven't made it all click. I'll be curious to see for them if Raheem Morris remains the guy after this year. It'll be especially interesting, too, because they right now are slated to have the 10th pick, Atlanta. And they don't own their own pick because, if you remember, they dealt that pick to the Rams in order to get James Pierce in this past draft. So it's not a great look for Atlanta, but I still think, like, they beat the Bills. Like, that's a reasonably quality win. But, I mean, you beat the Bills earlier in the year, and then you have to go into Tampa this week and come up with a big performance, and that's exactly what they did. They scored 28, won 28-23 against Tampa, having that last touchdown in the final seconds of the game there, last minute there. So we can kind of just get right into it. I mean, Drake May had, I think, statistically one of his – it's tough to say he had one of his worst games because I didn't think he was, like, bad. But I wouldn't say – for someone who's, you know, played at, like, an MVP level for such a huge part of this season, he didn't look great out there, right? 16 of 31, his lowest completion percentage of the entire year. 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then 1 interception. That 1 interception was a bad one too. If he, you know, it's a throw to Mac Hollins in the back of the end zone. I want to say it was Tyke Smith who got that interception. It was Tyke Smith, the safety. If he just throws that out the back of the end zone, the Patriots kick a field goal with Andy Borgalis, go up 8, and then Tampa's got to drive down just like they did. But instead, there's no way you can lose on that last drive with Tampa. Instead, you have to rely on the defense, who did a great job, and we'll get to them in a little bit. Yeah, I think Drake May was a little bit disappointing in that respect. Had 7 carries for 13 yards to go on to that passing stat line. He also had some phenomenal plays, though, right? Like, you know, the throw to Kyle Williams for the touchdown was, you know, a big-time throw on 3rd and 10. He had a nice play to Pop Douglas on a 3rd and 7, I want to say. And then a deep ball to Mac Hollins at the end on 3rd and 14. Mac Hollins, we'll talk about in a second too. He was incredible on the deep ball. So he had another play on a, maybe that was the 3rd and 7 I'm thinking of, to like kind of like a, he steps to the left, is getting corralled by a defensive lineman, and, you know, he kind of sidearms it into Mac Hollins and picks up a first down on a big 3rd and long. So I think across the board, May made some nice plays on Sunday. I just think the issue was the interception. I think there was inconsistency in the first quarter. That drive at the end of the first half was really good. So you got to give him some plaudits for that. Nice throw to Diggs in the back of the end zone. Great catch by Stephon Diggs. I wouldn't say his worst game. It's hard to put him on like the bad list, so to speak. But I wouldn't say he was really in the good list either. I think he had a couple plays that were good. The interception was really bad. But as a whole, you know, it's hard to hate on Drake too much. He's the reason they're in every game. It's hard to hate on someone playing at the level he's playing at. Running the ball. So I think a lot of people immediately will say Travion Henderson, that's exactly what we were looking for. And I'm not one to hate on Travion Henderson. I can't hate on someone who had 14 carries for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns at all, right? One thing we got to keep in mind, one was a 55-yard carry, one was a 69-yard carry, right? Both went for touchdowns. Great play by Henderson, or great plays by Henderson. The issue comes with the fact that there's not a consistent force in the run game, right? And Ramondre Stevenson's been a little bit more consistent in terms of, all right, you kind of know you're going to get 3 yards a carry, even though that's not good. you're going to get the 3 yards. Whereas Henderson, I feel like sometimes it's like, all right, like first and 10, and he goes back 3 yards. And yeah, on the every fifth carry, he might spring one for a decent gain. He had a 3rd and 10 carry on a little crack toss play where he busted up the seam for like 12 yards and then got ankle tackled. And it looked like he was going to have, at that point, what would have been his first touchdown, but one of 3 touchdowns on the day. So yeah, like I think Henderson's like the big play potential that you've got in the backfield. And I think that's why you draft a guy is, you know, in the second round as a running back, because they have the potential to break touchdown runs for gains of 55 for 69, these big runs. But his other 12 carries went for 23 yards, which is 1.9 a carry. And for as bad as Ramondre Stevenson's been this year, you know, that's still well below Ramondre's total. So I think it's definitely disappointing to see a guy like Henderson not find elite consistency, because that's what you're looking for long term. But he's still obviously like he was a huge reason why they won this game. You know, all three of the first, third and fourth touchdowns the Patriots had were all big gainers. And they weren't methodical drives like the second one was. So, this is in no way a, you know, pile on Travion Henderson's, you know, hate on him or anything like that. But, it definitely would be nice to see a little bit more consistency out of the backfield rather than such volatility. But, I think that at the same time, that's kind of what you sign up with for with Henderson. It's like, all right, yeah, this guy's going to get 10 to 12 to, in this case, 14 with Ramondre out, carries a game, and we're going to see if he can bust one deep. And he had a nice crack toss, like we talked about, and then the 2 touchdowns. So he did his job as far as being a kind of a boomer bust back. You know, it's just about the consistency, because they didn't get that at Terrell Jennings, 4 carries, 5 yards, or Darnus Johnson, 1 carry for 1 yard, especially because Henderson looked banged up at one point and Terrell Jennings was ruled out at the half. So Darnus Johnson was playing a little bit more. I'd be curious to see what his snap count was. I'm not sure if that's come out yet. I'm sure it has, but I think as a whole, I think running back continues to be a little bit of an area of need. Darnus Johnson played 10% of the snaps, which isn't a lot, but it's definitely more than I think you probably would have liked to have seen him play. I think ideally you're looking for a little bit more consistency out of the backfield. Not through Henderson, or through Henderson, obviously, but also out of Darnus Johnson and Terrell Jennings, who combined for 5 carries for 6 yards. You're looking for a little bit more consistency from your power back. So, and, you know, maybe it's come with Drake May at different times with his scrambling ability. It just didn't happen this past weekend. But, I think as a whole, you look at the backfield and feel okay about it. Receiving, we talked about Matt Collins for a second. 6 for 106. It's his second most productive day in his career. He had a 158-yard day. Back in 2022 with the Raiders when Josh McDaniels was there. But, I mean, this is the second time in the last 3 weeks where he's put up, like, a really legit stat line, right? 106 yards today. I think it was 7 for 89 against the Browns. That was his third most productive day of his career. So he's had the second and third most productive days of his NFL career in the last 3 weeks. So that's really, really impressive from him. And for a guy similar to Kayshon Boutte, actually, I don't think Matt Collins or Boutte are especially fast, but they've got really good tracking ability when they get downfield, and they do get some separation on those deep balls. So it's definitely really nice to see, you know, a guy like Matt Collins, who I was a fan of the signing at the time. I wasn't a fan of, I think I graded it initially like a D or an F, not because I dislike Matt Collins. I actually liked the Matt Collins signing, but my fear at that point was, this is before they signed Diggs, that was their answer to the wide receiver issue. And, you know, Matt Collins is not an answer to that. But if you want to have Matt Collins as your third guy, as your fourth guy, I'm all for it. Good special teams guy. He can play some tight end. He can block. Had a big block on that first Travion Henderson touchdown run. He's a good locker room guy. So I think Matt Collins is exact. Matt Collins, if you're a struggling wide receiver in the NFL, you know, and you're looking to kind of try to salvage your career, Matt Collins should be the guy you're looking at, because he's got $10 million from New England, $5 million a year from them to do exactly what he's doing right now. And he's been a real key piece to the Patriots win streak, or to continuing this Patriots win streak, especially with Kayshon Boutte out, and them not looking as good as they should have at times. Kyle Williams, his third catch of his NFL career, went for 72 yards and a touchdown. Williams is a guy that I was a huge fan of coming out of the draft. We haven't seen a ton of him. But, I mean, it's been hard to find a role for him, really, just because it's looked so disconnected when he's been out there. And then on top of that, the other receivers are playing pretty well. Yeah, he played 56% of the snaps this week, played 46% of them last week, but was held to no catches. Those are his two highest snap counts. And, yeah, I mean, I think he's still in a little bit of a tough spot, right? He had two catches in his first 3 weeks, and then after that, it took until this game in week 10 for him to get another catch. So I think it's definitely going to be a, you know, they're going to want to continue to add to his experience a little bit as a player. But yeah, I think that's a really, you know, nice start to, his career. And obviously we're still only 10 games in, so he's got every opportunity now to continue to develop. And I think he showed he's got the afterburners. I think we like his speed. So yeah, I think Kyle Williams is a guy that's here to stay. Stephon Diggs, 5 for 46 and a touchdown. Big play at the end by him for the touchdown. Diggs just continues to be the volume guy. He's going to have 5, 6, 7 catches a game. And, you know, they might not be for ridiculous yard totals, right? He averaged 9.2 a catch this time around. Once again, not, you know, some ridiculous stat line, but it's just, once again, it's a really solid, really solid numbers, right? For a guy who is going to be that slot guy, that, you know, underneath threat, especially considering, you know, when you look at the other receivers, Matt Collins, 6 for 106, but then Kyle Williams, even though he had 72 yards, caught one ball. Pop Douglas had two catches, and then Hunter Henry and Trayvon Henderson each had a catch. So, I mean, for a team that only completed, you know, 16 passes, he's catching 5 of them. That's a very high volume wideout. So, you like what Diggs showed again, I think. Pop Douglas with that nice catch on third down, like I mentioned before, and then had a nice little bubble screen that he was able to take, I think, 8 yards. Hunter Henry with a catch for 9 yards. Trayvon Henderson with a catch for 3. Austin Hooper, we'll get to him in a little bit. He didn't have any catches, but he has a concussion now and is probably going to miss the Jets game. At the time of recording, this is a Wednesday, so it looks like he's going to miss tomorrow. One piece I will add in here, Kairos Tonga played 8 snaps on offense, all as a fullback. Jack Westover he'll be on the team for the rest of the season. I have very little doubt about that. But, I mean, he had 1 target today, or on Sunday, and it looked like he almost volleyball set the ball up to the Buccaneers defensive back, and it's looking like he's going to cause an interception. I actually don't even know if that ball was targeted for him. It looked like it was an Austin Hooper target, but Westover's job's getting taken by Kairos Tonga at fullback, and Tonga's doing a really good job at it, right? I think I tweeted about it earlier. Kairos Tonga, so in Kairos Tonga's 9 run blocking snaps over the last 2 weeks, he has an 87.2 run blocking grade, which is 14th in the league when you take away snap count parameters. And with Austin Hooper continuing to not look likely to play, as I just mentioned, he's probably going to line up at fullback more, right? With Jack Westover being a more traditional tight end this week. We'll get into a practice squad elevation, I think we'll probably see in a little bit too. But yeah, I think that's got to be disappointing for Jack Westover. Defensively, I think Baker Mayfield continues to show why he is still an MVP candidate. He had 3 touchdowns. He actually escaped that Ke'Lavon Chase on sack at the end there. But he's really, really good. Emeka Buka is something else too. He was given Christian Gonzalez some problems. Tez Johnson a pair of touchdowns. Sterling Shepard really killed Carlton Davis a couple times, which was pretty sad to see. Craig Woodson came up over the top once or twice and was able to help him out, but it's not a good look at all for Carlton Davis. Yeah, it didn't look good. Kate Otten at that tight end spot. The Patriots just continue to struggle with tight ends. I want to do a little bit more of a deep dive. If I remember to before next week, I'm gonna take a little bit of a deeper look into the tight end situation, especially with the Jets playing or the Patriots playing the Jets this week and Mason Taylor being a pretty productive rookie. The Patriots haven't had a great track record this year defending tight ends. Kate Otten goes for 82, which is his highest yardage total of the season. Brock Bowers and Dalton Kincaid each went up for over 100. Tommy Tremble had a touchdown when they played the Panthers. Taysom Hill had a touchdown. Kyle Pitts, I don't think his stats were crazy against Atlanta, but he had a couple key third down catches. Harold Fannin and David Njoku each had a touchdown when they played the Browns. So Juwan Johnson, I think, I might be wrong. Actually, Juwan Johnson had a fumble in that game against the Saints. I was going to compliment him, but I don't think he played very well in that game. But yeah, overall, I think they've kind of struggled against better tight ends. And none of those guys I mentioned, with the exception of maybe Tremble, are like, you know, like I would say like second-rate players. All of them are pretty established players in the league, or in Harold Fannin's case, like a little bit more of an up-and-coming young player that a lot of people like. So Otten's a good player. I think that they do need to find someone in the offseason, or they need to change their scheme. They need to find something to stop the tight end, because that's kind of the last piece of their defense I really feel like they're missing, is a true tight end stopper. And I don't know if that's a safety issue, because Jalen Hawkins and Craig Woodson are, you know, have a little bit less experience, but also have played further back from the line of scrimmage. And you're relying on, you know, more zone schemes. You're relying on a 5'8 Marcus Jones to cover tight ends, or linebackers like Christian Ellis and Spillane. So I'd be curious, you know, if I'd like to see if there's a more in-depth look at what the scheme looks like against tight ends. I'm not saying that Kate Otten is the sort of guy you're bracketing. You know, this isn't prime Gronk. But I think after Mika Igbuka and the run game, as far as just pass catchers go, I think after Igbuka, you look at it and you say, yeah, Kate Otten is the number one guy for the Bucs. So, yeah, I think that's something the Patriots are going to want to clean up in the next couple weeks. Rushing-wise, Sean Tucker broke their streak of not allowing a 50-plus yard rusher. Rashad White held to 3.8 a carry. Definitely weird to think that of all guys that would be, breaking this no 50-yard rusher streak, they've played Alvin Kamara, they've played Devon Achan, they played Rico Dowdle before he, you know, started to pop off, Chuba Hubbard, Ashton Jeanty, Bijan, James Cook. I'm sure I'm missing someone. But you've played all these, like, really talented backs, and the guy that breaks it is the third-string running back on Tampa, who's only getting run because of Bucky Irving's being out. So definitely weird, but, you know, they still haven't allowed a 55-plus yard rusher. 9 for 53 for Sean Tucker. So, still obviously an elite run defense. Really good effort from them. Elijah Ponder, the undrafted rookie, had his first career sack, which was obviously nice to see. Caleb on Chase on another sack. Should have had two, but, Baker Mayfield escaped at the end there and was able to shovel the ball off to Rashad White before he was eventually tackled. Marty Mapu, I actually thought, played a decent amount. And I actually really liked the role they had him in. They kind of had him as this, in the flat tackler sort of guy for them, which I thought was really productive for this defense. I think that at times with Marcus Jones, for as phenomenal as he's been this season, size is still kind of an issue with him. So I think to have a guy who's a little bit bigger and a guy who's a better coverage player than Christian Ellis is really helpful. So I really like that out of Marty Mapu. And I do hope to continue to see him find a role in this defense, because I do like what he brings to the table. The Harold Landry, once again, I thought, you know, was a little bit quiet. But I think that's, you know, he's going to continue to, you know, be a reliable bookend on the defensive line. Carlton Davis, we talk about him every week. Against his former team, I just thought he struggled again. He allows a touchdown to Tez Johnson at the end there. I thought he got burnt a couple times by Sterling Shepard. I'm not a huge Carlton Davis guy. I'd be curious to see Carlton Davis's contract, to see if the Patriots could get out of this after this year, or if it doesn't seem super possible. So at the end of this year, next year I'll have a $20 million. Yeah, so they don't have an out next year. After next year, so after 2026, before the 2027 season, they could get out of his contract. But he's on the books for $20 million next year. So maybe you try to see what you could do with a restructure. Maybe you know, once Terrell Williams is back calling plays, maybe that benefits Carlton Davis a little bit more. But Yeah, you know, I think it's been a little bit disappointing to see what he's brought to the table. Efton Chisholm was the primary kick returner again. And yeah, I think as a whole the Patriots looked pretty decent again in the game. I think that, you know, there's definitely things to clean up defensively with the Kate Otten, not Kate Otten specifically, but with the tight ends of the world, the Kate Ottens who kind of hurt them, I thought. Mika Ibuka kind of, like I said earlier, hurt Gonzalez a little bit, but I thought as a whole that looked, you know, there's a really good team that you just played. So it's nice to obviously see them come out and look really, really good against a team that I think, I want to say it was CBS Sports had as their number one team in the entire league in their power rankings. So I thought that was good to see. With the Bills losing two, now you're 8-2 versus their 6-3. So you've got a little bit more of a handy, you've got a much more tight grip on the division, which I like to see. So yeah, I did really like that. Just to see the Bills lose, it's always good to see a rival lose, and then also Miami kind of taking themselves out of that hunt for the number one pick, with a win is good to see. The Jets, too, obviously winning that game. We'll talk about the Jets, given that they play them tomorrow in a second here. But, yeah, I thought as a whole it looked good from New England this past week. And, you know, obviously they're going to hope to parlay that into the Jets game. I do post a lot of these stats, a lot of these random thoughts on my Twitter. The Twitter at is GrahamWilker1. That's GrahamWilker1, as in the number. Yeah, and then eventually, you know, Hopefully try to grow this, do some mailbags maybe. So that seems like an exciting opportunity. So yeah, definitely go check that out. So moving on to the Jets a little bit here. The Jets are really bad. They're 2-7 right now, right? For a reason. They're 2-7. They're not a particularly great team. Justin Fields has had 4 games in 9 weeks where he's thrown for under 55 yards. In all those games, he's also thrown for 55% as a completion percentage or less. The Jets are 1-3 in those games. In those 3 losses, in 2 of those 3 losses, they still only lost by 1 score. That was this past week. They won against the Bengals thanks to 2 special teams touchdowns, both in returns, one from Isaiah Williams, one from Kanan Wongwu. And then in the other 2, against the Broncos and, against the Panthers, they kept it within a score. So, it's pretty incredible that the Jets defense, you know, even now without Sauce Gardner, without Quinnen Williams, and then their special teams has kept them to this level. It's obviously really impressive that they're remaining in games. So yeah, it's been a good look for them. PFF doesn't think very highly of the Jets, I will say. They have only 3 players that grade out to have a 70-plus overall grade. That's Breece Hall, Armon Mamu, their rookie right tackle, and Garrett Wilson. Wilson's a 72.5, Mamu a 73.2, and Breece Hall a 74.2. Wilson likely won't play given his injury. I think it's a knee injury, if I'm not mistaken. So Breece Hall is going to be the focal point of the Jets offense, especially with Justin Fields' really poor passing performances over the past few weeks. That will be the thing that the Patriots need to look out for. When you look at the Jets, as far as Breece Hall's contributions go, when he has 100 or more rushing yards, the Jets score 31 points a game. When he doesn't, they score 17 a game, right? Garrett Wilson is out. The number one focus should be containing Breece Hall, and the Patriots kind of do that anyway. They do a really, really good job containing running backs historically. Quinshon Judkins was the focal point of the Browns offense, him and Harold Fannin. They held Judkins to 9 carries for 19 yards before he eventually got hurt. So I have very little doubt that when a player's – and Bijan Robinson was 3.8 a carry, and he's one of the focal points of Atlanta's offense. So I think they've done a really, really good job. I say this every week, you know, hold their running back to, you know, minimal yardage and you're going to be in a good spot. And this is one of those weeks that I feel like, given that it's a Thursday night, I feel like it'll be difficult to see it being a total blowout. I shouldn't say that, actually. I think this will be like a 31-6 sort of game, 31-7 sort of game. But I don't see this being one of those where it's like 40-0 just because it is a Thursday night and it's a short week. The Patriots are a little banged up. They had an extensive injury report on Monday that then cleared up a lot on Tuesday. But, you know, you could see them, you could very well see them come out swinging. I expect them to anyway, but you could, if you do see, you know, that 40-point win, I don't think it's egregious to think that's a possibility, given that they're in a spot where, you know, they're going to have a mini bye with the rest of this week, given that they won't have to play on Sunday since they're playing that Thursday night game, and then you have the entirety of next week to prepare for the Bengals next up. We keep going back to Garrett Wilson. He's such a good player, and he's really been one of the very few parts of the Jets offense they've had to worry about over the past few years. Given that he hasn't practiced this week, we'll take a look at, the Jets wide receiver depth chart, and it isn't great. Tyler Johnson, former Minnesota man, played with the Rams, played primarily with the Buccaneers, is where he got his start and had most of his production. He only has 10 catches on the year. That's the next highest pass catcher for the Jets at wide receiver. Adonai Mitchell with 9 catches. He doesn't have a catch with the Jets. John Metchie with 5. One of those are with the Jets. Alan Lazard has 7. Rookie Arian Smith out of Georgia has 6. He's primarily a special teams piece. Isaiah Williams had that punt return last week with 4 on the year. I think Mason Taylor is going to be a guy that you have to look out for. Again, we were talking about tight ends before. I think it's, once again, this seems very similar to the Browns game to me, where it's their quarterback isn't very good, whether it's Justin Fields or Dylan Gabriel, but they do have a young tight end, whether it's Harold Fannin or Mason Taylor, and you've got a good running back in Quinshon Judkins / Breece Hall. So that'll be a guy to look out for sure, is Mason Taylor. Garrett Wilson, I'm not sure if he practiced today. I'd expect that he didn't. Either way, you know, you put yourself in a tough spot as far as, Garrett Wilson did not play yesterday on Tuesday. So, I think you put yourself in a tough spot when you're the Jets. Even if you do have Garrett Wilson, you have Christian Gonzalez to cover him, and he's historically done a good job against Garrett Wilson. So regardless, I think the two primary things you're going to have to look out for are Mason Taylor and Breece Hall in the backfield. I think those are the main pieces to the Jets, game right now. I don't think there's a ton really to dive into other than that, right? Sauce Gardner being out, being traded, obviously leaves a void, in that defensive backfield. Brandon Stevens, the former Raven and SMU Mustang, is going to be their primary corner, him and Jarvis Brownlee, who they acquired from the Titans earlier in the year. Brownlee's actually looked really good as a nickelback. So he's going to be a guy to look out for in the slot. Azari Thomas is in concussion protocol, their rookie from Florida State, who a lot of people thought was a steal in that third round. People thought he'd be a second-round pick, high second-round pick. They got him in the third. With Azari Thomas likely out too, you could see Jahzir Taylor, who they just traded for prior to the trade deadline from the Chargers. I wouldn't expect, a Herculean effort from the Jets. They're on a 2-game win streak, which looks good, but I just, on a short week like this, the Patriots are, Kayshon Boutte, we'll see if he actually comes back or not, but I didn't see from what I saw, Kayshon Boutte was limited, but he wasn't a DNP on Tuesday like Austin Hooper, like Joshua Farmer were, or like Garrett Wilson was on the other side. So I want Rush Booty back. I don't think you're really going to need him, especially with Matt Collins playing so well as of late. I think defensively for the Jets, you look at it, you say Will McDonald's a fantastic player. Quincy Williams, I think, is really good. He's the sort of guy that if the Jets part with him in the offseason, having him and Spillane together would be really nasty. You're depleted at cornerback. I think Tony Adams is a decent safety, but I think that's what he is. He's decent. He's not, a world beater. So you have to feel pretty good about the way this game looks for New England, just across the board. We can talk a little bit more specifics now, too, how that game might play out and what we might see over the next, really day or two. I would expect some practice squad elevations. I don't think Austin Hooper's in concussion protocol and won't play. They haven't officially said that, but no one comes back from a concussion on Sunday and plays on Thursday. Normally that's a week and week, 10-day sort of turnaround. So with Austin Hooper, I think you're probably going to see one of the practice squad guys elevated. CJ Dupree, undrafted rookie from Alabama, super strong, good athlete, potential guy to elevate and be that third tight end behind Jack Westover. Like I said earlier, you're going to see Kyrus Tong in the backfield a little bit more this week, I think, just because they're going to want Westover in line. You're also probably just going to see the Patriots throw the ball a lot because of the Jets corner situation. The other guy they have on the roster, or as far as the practice squad goes, is Thomas Odukoya. He's 28 from Eastern Michigan. Super raw athlete. I think he's Dutch. He was an international pathway guy, I want to say. I'm not sure if he qualifies for that, but he is Dutch and went to EMU. So he's a potential guy that you could add as a really good athlete. Mike Vrabel, spent some time with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, and Vrabel was just singing his praises when he was down there. I encourage you guys to take a look at that. I think he looked good. He looks like a good, you know, potential add to the roster for a game. If you have a guy who's, you know, a plus athlete and you think you could develop him as a blocker, especially because if I'm not mistaken, I was taking a look at him yesterday, and he's a pretty big body. I think he's like 6'6", 260. He's Dutch. 6'6", 253. So that's a potential people mover right there. So if you had him and you said, hey, we want you to be our third tight end, you know, maybe even throw him in the backfield instead of Westover or instead of Tonga, he seems like a really logical addition to that offense, especially on a short week. You're going to have a guy who's a little bit more juiced up. He's ready to go. The other practice squad addition I could see happening would be Jeremiah Farms. They signed him to a 2-year extension in the offseason, ended up cutting him in September, very beginning of September, that first week. With him, I think it's a matter of Josh Farmer being out. I don't know if they'll actually make that addition, just because I'm not sure how much you need an extra defensive lineman. I don't think it can hurt. But you've had some like reasonable play out of Corey Durden. I think even though he's more of an edge guy, you like Elijah Ponder, the undrafted rookie. So I think maybe, you know, you see one of those guys. Eric Johnson, or Eric Gregory, rather. Eric Johnson was another guy they had. Eric Gregory has been inactive every week this year, and this would be the week that he'd be active if he played at all. If he plays at all. But to me, you know, I don't think I would probably rather have Jeremiah Farms. You know what you have with him. I think he's a little bit better. If I'm not mistaken, they still have Leonard Taylor, the former Miami Hurricane, on the practice squad too. I think you've got some options to fill that Josh Farmer role in his absence. I think you've got, you know, some guys that you're gonna hear their names potentially this week. As far as additions go. Speaking of practice squad additions, a guy that I suggested a couple of times in my articles and on my Twitter, once again, Graham Wilker 1, GRAHAMWILKER 1. Zach Moss, to me, seems like a really sensible addition to the practice squad. So the story with him, he was on the Bills initially, if you remember that, a couple of years back. Made his way to the Colts. In 2023, he had 996 total yards. I think 800 of those were on the ground. That was when Jonathan Taylor was out, and then Jonathan Taylor came back, took his job back. But Zach Moss has proven that he can be a player in the NFL. Was signed last year by the Bengals. Eventually kind of had his job taken by Chase Brown. Had a neck injury too. I think it was a C6 vertebrae is what it's called. Pretty devastating injury usually, but he was cleared by doctors to play and everything. Still wants to play. He mentioned in an interview that I saw, I looked up a couple of days ago, that he said, yeah, if I wanted to stop playing, I would have I would have told everyone, but I still want to make an NFL comeback. And for a guy that was such a productive player, you know, 48 months ago, or 24 months ago, rather, that's the sort of guy that would offer you some more experience than Terrell Jennings would, you know, has had more NFL success, more sustained NFL success, I should say, than Dearness Johnson. You know, averaged 4.2 a carry through six seasons. Had only three fumbles in those six seasons. So I think that's the type of guy that would be a really, you know, serviceable add to the practice squad for the rest of the year. And you can say, hey, you know, he was released from Cincinnati. He was on a two-year deal, released him after a year. Not directly because of his injury, but indirectly. They said because of his injury, there was some conditioning issues. He wasn't as ready to go as they were hoping he would be for camp. And then because of that, you know, they ended up parting ways. And I think that also kind of Chase Brown's ascension over the last 12 months has also played a role in that. So I think that, you know, adding a guy like Moss would make a lot of sense. I think whether it's Moss, I've talked about Gus Edwards before in some of my articles. I think I mentioned Jamal Williams too, who's another free agent. I just think getting another veteran presence on the practice squad seems like a really smart idea. And I think you're a team at the level now where you're a really good team, right? You're 8-2. You've proved it through 10 weeks that you're one of the league's best teams. I think unlike last year where players might've had some hesitancy in joining the Patriots practice squad, if you're a veteran, you're like, hey, like I'm just going to practice with these guys. We're going to win four games. I don't even know if I'm going to get a chance. Now, even if these veterans don't get a chance, they're saying, hey, like I'm on a good team's practice squad, right? If you're Gus Edwards, you sign with the Patriots practice squad and you say, hey, if I get a chance to get out there and make some plays, I can make some plays for a team that's looking to make the playoffs, not for a team that's, you know, looking to get the number one overall pick. So you have some pull right now. I'd like to see them add, you know, a veteran presence to that backfield. I had suggested before the trade deadline, Tyler Allgeier, Jerome Ford, neither of those happened. Didn't make any moves at the deadline. Which I mentioned last week, I did kind of like the fact that they didn't make any moves just because I felt like if there was a guy like a Jalen Waddle moved or a Chris Olave moved, then I would have been a little bit disappointed that they didn't get in on that. But I don't have much of an issue with them not making a move for Rashid Shaheed, for example. So, my one thing would be, can we add a veteran back to the practice squad? That seems like a pretty notable and serviceable addition. I just think it's kind of irresponsible to have your backs be really boom or bust and Travion Henderson go for 5 carries for 6 yards, which was the combined stat line of Terrell Jennings and Dearness Johnson this past weekend, or just be hurt and have fumble issues like Ramondre has had. So, I think those are the main pieces, there that would result in a practice squad addition. The only other new Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, was released from the practice squad. Only was on the team for a short time, but that's a little bit disappointing. I think it would have been kind of cool to add a guy or to see what you had with a guy who was a pretty productive player in college. That's neither here nor there. The last piece I kind of wanted to talk about, and it's nice to be 10 weeks in and not be thinking about, you know, mock drafts and whatnot. I feel like historically that's a lot of what has been the case over the past 2 years. When they had 8 wins through 2 years, you have 8 wins through 10 weeks now. But I was just kind of thinking, all right, like as far as the team goes, just blindly looking at if everyone on the team were to come back right now, no re-signings, nothing needed, where do you really need reinforcements? And I would say the offensive line in general, I think you could need another receiver. I do think, like I said, you need another running back. I don't think that's a first-round need, but I do think you could use another running back. I think you could use a new tight end, too. That's running back and tight end I put in kind of that second tier. But I think you need a wide receiver. I think you need offensive line. I think you need help on the edge. And I think you could argue a defensive back, too, in there. I'm not sure whether that would be, it's kind of more up for debate whether it could be a corner or safety, but, you know, I think a lot of defenses are super elevated when they add an elite safety, right? If you added a Derwin James level player who can play in the slot, He can play on the outside. He can come down into the box. He can play deep. He can do all these things. That offers a whole new wrinkle to your defense. You know, if you had the opportunity to add, you know, a Kyle Hamilton type of guy, if you have that opportunity, you need to pull the trigger on that. And, you know, I think the guy that a lot of people think about in this year's draft is Caleb Downs, and I don't think he'll fall to the Patriots pick. But just the nature of the position, having a safety, the Patriots potentially being able to add a center or a linebacker, one of these guys who, you know, as far as positional value, the positional value isn't super high, but the player is still really talented. Like the Ravens did a couple years ago, they added Tyler Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton, who have both been really good players for them. They're just players at kind of a safety and center position that don't have a ton of value to teams that are picking in that 15-16 area of the draft, just because they have so many needs. But the Patriots, Arvel Reese is another guy at linebacker. I think he'll be in that top 10 conversation just because how well he's played this year with Ohio State. But I think, you know, you've got an opportunity this year's draft, which I think is going to be really exciting. Obviously, we're a ways away, and, you know, we don't want to be thinking about the draft. We want to be thinking about, you know, trying to make a, you know, I think they're a playoff push. We're already past that, but potentially making a push for, you know, an AFC championship, some playoff wins, maybe even a Super Bowl appearance. So, yeah, I think, you know, just continuing to add to this team would be, you know, it's going to be really fun to see over the next 12 months to see how this team continues to develop, because you've already got a quarterback who's an MVP candidate. You've got Christian Gonzalez on the other side, who's, you know, I think he's when he stays healthy and when he's locked in, he's one of the best corners in football, top three corner in football. You've got, you know, a crop of free agents that you signed this past offseason: Milton Williams, Robert Spillane, Caleb Von Chason, Morgan Moses. Even now, they've developed so nicely. Matt Collins, Stephon Diggs, they've all just played so well. You're making these great decisions. You're getting rid of Kyle Duggar's bloated contract. You're getting rid of Keon White before he could potentially become a problem in the locker room with him not playing a ton. You're getting value back for these guys, right? You know. And I think you've got some more potential to clear some cap at the end of this year, too. We'll have to see what happens with Ramondre. We'll have to see what happens with Carlton Davis. We'll have to see what happens with, you know, some of these other guys. Christian Ellis is another name to look out for as far as saving money goes. So this team is really good now. They're 8-2. They've proved it. They proved it to the world on Sunday when they beat not only the Bills earlier this year, where it's like, oh, it's a divisional game, it's a fluke, whatever. You beat two really good teams this year, two teams with Super Bowl hopes. So it's a really good time to be a Patriots fan. They're on the you know, on the upward trend. They're looking really good, and they look good now. They're going to look good hopefully next year too. Yeah, I think you know, I'll actually be at the game. The Jets-Patriots game on Thursday in Foxborough. So that'll be a really good time. It'll be my first Patriots game since they played the Bills in the final year of Mac Jones and his reign of terror when they beat the Bills at home. So, you know, hopefully it's another great game. Or maybe hopefully it's not a great game. Hopefully it is this is one of those games that's over at halftime. The spread right now, I think, is 12.5. I think it's very unlikely the Patriots don't win by two touchdowns. So I think you got to feel pretty good about, you know, just the way this team has played over the last few weeks and, you know, what I think tomorrow night's going to look like. I have very little issue saying the Patriots will move to 9-2. You know, then they'll have the mini bye, play the Bengals, potentially move to 10-2, and then really be in the home stretch there. You know, 12 games into the year. So, yeah, really, really impressive stuff from the Patriots on Sunday. Hope to see some more of that on Thursday. This team just keeps winning. Hopefully we see a little bit more. So, it's been Graham's Talks Pats. It's been fun chatting for a little bit about the Patriots, and, yeah, hopefully they get a win tomorrow on Thursday. Go Pats.